The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia. This is episode 240 of Colombia Calling. We have a very special guest on the show, longtime listener, first time appearing on Colombia Calling. His name is Delaney Turner. He hails from Ottawa. And we've met over several months. I've been interviewed by Delaney himself. I've had pancakes in his home. He's a great guy. He's been here in Bogota for several years, 3 years. He'll be here for another year or so, and you know, he's someone who's basically studying the Bogota condition through his experience as a trailing spouse, I think it is. So welcome on Columbia Calling, Delaney.
Thanks, Richard. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. This is a relaxed conversation, this episode 240. And you know, we're going to talk about what it really means to be in Bogota with all this time on your hands, because you are a marketing guru, executive from Canada. You lot of work, you know, you're a busy guy, and then you come down here, you know, my dad used to be a member of a group he was Canadian, but in London called Studs, and it was his spouses transferred under duress, but this trailing spouse is a nicer term, I think. But so I mean, you're down here and you've got time to fill.
Yes.
Just tell us about, really, you know, when your wife had the opportunity to move to Colombia, to Bogota, and you went, great. But then what was the first thing you kind of felt?
I was kind of excited because my wife had actually been here for 6 weeks on a previous assignment. And it was the first time. We weren't unfamiliar with South America or Latin America. My brother-in-law is actually from Ecuador. So we had been to South America, but never to Colombia. But my wife had been here and really, really enjoyed it. This was a time, this was even before Bogota was cool. I think it was back in 2011, 2012, around there. And so when we had the opportunity to come down here for what was at the time a 2-year assignment, I just jumped at the chance. I was just like, yeah, okay, let's go. We were both looking for a sort of a second act.
Yeah.
And we were thinking, yeah, let's go. This sounds like fun. It'll be an adventure. So we did not regret it. We've enjoyed our time down here, and a lot of other people have as well.
But of course, I mean, and I think that's interesting. 2011, you come down. Bogota, it's not being written up as the cool place as it's being written up
exactly,
as now, is it? It's interesting that, isn't it? The whole evolution. And yeah, I always think about it when I moved into the Candelaria in 2007. You couldn't get anything more than a corrientazo anywhere. I mean, it was rice, it was plantain, it was pasta on your plate, it was a piece of some kind of mystery meat. there was
overdone
some yuca. But now, I mean, this city is cool.
It is cool. Yeah, it is. You can see the undercurrents of an emerging global or more open, vibe, more evidence that Bogota, at least Bogota, and maybe some of the other cities, but Bogota, what we're talking about, has discovered what is going on in the rest of the world in terms of what North American tourists may expect from, and I think what they're learning, especially on the restaurant scene. I know Colombia and is a conservative country. Bogota is a very conservative city, more or less. It has been. but you can see from the younger demographic, more interesting foods. Mm-hmm. Colombian food generally is very basic, very plain. It's a lot of meat and starch. There are good reasons for that. Yeah. But in the Candelaria and in other areas, Zona Hay, there's a whole neighborhood now that is known for its gourmet restaurants. Mm-hmm. So there are destinations now where people go to get good food. I think that's really, really amazing.
I think it's so important because, of course, one of the, you know, I would say alongside coffee and mm-hmm. maybe a single malt, for an excellent meal out is one of my last vices.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't overwhelmingly possible before.
Right. Right.
I mean, you know, there were options, mm-hmm. but they were limited.
Yeah.
You know, and it was this sort of traditional options.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, it's coming into it. So, I mean, let's go back again. Sure. You're excited.
Mm-hmm.
How would you, let's say you're coming along and you're like, oh, well, I'm going to have to fill this time. So I imagine you started investigating the possibilities for yourself in Bogota.
Yeah, well, I looked at a lot of travel blogs. I was quite surprised, actually, to look at the internet is stocked with top 10 things to do in Colombia, top 10 blog. And I was going to come down here and blog about that, but then I realized, nope, the particular travel blog market in Colombia is pretty much saturated.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to look elsewhere, and but you know, there's the big ones like the Candelaria, which you could there's always something to see down there. There's Monserrate, which is I don't need to see again. I've learned a lot just about exploring other neighborhoods. I think the key is, and I've written about this as well in other places, is to be just be curious.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be curious about what's around that corner, what's down that street, what's behind that door. Now, obviously, it's a big city. There are still some security concerns. You have to know which neighborhood you're in. But I've just found so many interesting art galleries, interesting bookstores, great clothing stores, just really cool stuff that you would expect to see in larger typical European destinations, for example, or New York.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the experiences that I enjoy while traveling is exploring and looking at bookstores and galleries and restaurants and cafes. You can get all of that down here as well.
It's true. And when you talk about bookstores, it's that Calle 16,
mm-hmm.
You know, coming down from the Avianca building and crossing the Septima and just down there. That plethora of secondhand bookstores. The one I want to put with the Merlin.
Yes.
Like some four floors.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to know what you're looking for too, because otherwise.
But
it's so much fun.
It is.
I mean, it is a city to be discovered. I think that's really, you know, we can write about how cool it is and we can go to the places that are written up in the New York Times or in Forbes, which, you know, well, they wrote about Getsemani in Cartagena recently, but all these sort of places. But it's somewhere, you know, you can go alone and wander and discover and be secure, because it's about common sense as well. But you can explore this. I mean, of course, like Montserrat, I mean, I don't know how many times I've been up with that mountain. I've never walked it once.
I don't think
I'm going to either,
right.
With all true respect. But that's fine, you know. But I like it, you know. I take people up there if I'm accompanying people to give them the overall view of the city.
Yes.
Look, these are the Invasiones, this is South Bogota, look at the socioeconomic divide, look at how the city's out west, look at the mountains, and that sort of thing. But to go up again and again is not necessary.
I grew up near Niagara Falls, and it's when you have visitors, that's where you go, you take them to Niagara Falls. The one thing I do like about Monserrate is that you take them up, and the way I describe it is, the city is, because it's bordered on the mountains, it's sort of in a valley, it's as if the creator of your choice took a bunch of orange Lego blocks and just threw them, because there's so many so many orange brick buildings that they just scatter and go up the sides of the mountains, which is pretty cool to see.
It is. That's a very good description.
Yeah.
Well, point to your blog as well.
Yeah.
So listen, you know, Delaney does write his observation on becausebogota.com. Of course, that'll be on our Facebook page and our Twitter and what have you. And you can check out his observations there. So, but you researched and he did some investigation before coming down. Obviously, there would have been the initial concerns, maybe from the rest of the family, or going down there. But you know, these things—it's we're beyond the dark days of 1998, 2002. Yeah. It's different.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I try to do with the blog as well, and it's a reflection of what I've felt and experienced, is that the city is discovering itself. Mm-hmm. You know, not only is it opening itself up to the rest of the world, I think from Bogotanos returning and Colombians returning, because the city situation is so much improved, but Colombians themselves are discovering the advantages and the richness that they have here. And it's been really fun to be part of that. Just to see how much there is here, because I know Colombians love their country. And they love their city. And when we talk about it with Colombians, they're just like, yeah, this is, you should go to this neighborhood or try this restaurant or you know, this art gallery just opened. So it's really, really cool.
I think the creativity has existed. It hasn't before found its outlets,
right?
You know, and people had to either leave to be able to achieve the levels of creativity, right? Maybe arts and so on. But that creativity now is rippling through the surface here, I would say. And and like you said, you touched on it just now. Bogota's finding itself. It is an identity situation.
It is.
And how there is the inevitable, and we'll steer away from politics, of course. But the inevitable thing is, you talk to a foreigner, you're away. Oh, I live in Colombia. Oh, Pablo Escobar. You know, the issue. But these images, these, let's say, it's now a brand, I would say. Colombia has to find where it wants to be in the next couple of decades and further. And you know, I feel, and this is my personal thing, every time someone, you know, does a TV show or a radio show or something and says a poor joke about Colombia, Colombians shouldn't rise up and ask for an apology.
Yeah.
It just, you know, shrug it off. Mm-hmm. You know, shrug it off and move on. Look what we've got now.
Exactly.
You know, rather than saying, oh, apologize, you know, it's...
Well, you can't ignore that. I mean, it happened. It is a historical fact, but it is not... And this is what I tell people, and this is what I try to write about. It's not the totality of the Colombian or Bogota experience.
Yeah.
So, Colombia... For the foreign tourist, the only things that if they gave any thought to Colombia at all was cocaine and coffee. Mm. Now, that's true, but it's only a microscopic part of the entire story. So what I try to do on the blog is show all of those other areas and those other aspects of life in the city. I think one of the things that a great example of seeing the city discover itself and even coming to terms with its past and its challenges is the graffiti tour. It's one of the first things that I did when I got here. My wife did it and loved it. She's done it a couple of times. Is to walk through the old city and look at these enormous, beautiful murals that are city sanctioned, that are legal, to see the conversation that the city is now having with itself about the challenges that it has in terms of, for example, economic inequality or the situation regarding indigenous Colombians. And all of that is playing out in open view, in plain sight. And that's a really interesting thing to see.
It's the best thing. And it's not for, you know, I don't really talk about pages like TripAdvisor, but it's not for nothing that it's number one
thing to do in
Bogota. It's the one of the best ways of learning what's going on in the city and the country.
Yeah.
And through a fun way of doing it, too. We've had graffiti artists on the show way back. When we've had them on. Crisp, DJ Lou, and others, and it's always fascinating to talk with them and really, really inspired people,
right?
Pushing for change, you know, pushing for recognition of what's going on in the country, and I think that's part of it, isn't it? It's this need, and what's happening is there is a dialogue taking place. Colombia is changing. Bogota is a vibrant place to visit. So as we wind down this first segment. Mm-hmm. So are there any snippets or nuggets of advice that you would offer other people in, let's say, a situation similar mm-hmm. to yours who are coming down here for an extended period of time?
Come with an open mind. Yeah. Come with an open mind and be ready to be surprised. We've received, since we've been here, almost every member of our family has come down, and several of our friends mm-hmm. who would not have thought about Colombia otherwise.
Yeah.
And they have, to a person, gone back, come down here and said, I never knew. Mm-hmm. I never would have expected to see or eat or taste or any of these experiences. And I said, yeah, this is great. I mean, they come down, they I say, this is the weather every day is like yeah. this. And they're from Canada, so it's either exceedingly hot or really friggin' cold. And I said, yeah, no, it's 18 degrees year round. And they're just like, wow. So that open mind, and forget what you thought.
Yeah.
Forget what you thought about Colombia and the stereotypes. There's a lot more.
Yeah, it makes me laugh. It's because I had friends from Calgary, family friends, who came down to my wedding in Cartagena, but they spent a week prior to that in Bogota, and they're like, it's just the most beautiful weather here all the time. But you are from Calgary. I mean, it snows into May, you know?
Yeah.
It was so nice. And it's something that, obviously, I forget. You know, mm-hmm. you forget when you're here so long. It's like I now I'm spoiled, and I see it drizzling, and I'm annoyed.
Right?
because of course I get muddy. Blah blah blah. That's mm-hmm. the transport. But we won't talk about that.
Okay.
But very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very positive and upbeat mm-hmm. advice there from Delaney Turner, marketing guru, let's mm-hmm. say, from Ottawa. We're talking about his sabbatical period down here mm-hmm. and what he's up to and his observations on Bogota and Colombia. Of course, check out his blog on becausebogota.com. This is episode 240 of Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more insights and you know, further conversation with Delaney Turner. So thank you, and don't go away. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, here with Delaney Turner. As you know, if you've been listening thus far, Delaney is, you know, a marketing guy from Ottawa, Canada. He's down here on sabbatical, but I would say it's longer than a sabbatical, because 3 years mm-hmm. and turning into 4 years. Yeah. I mean, you've had an extension on your time.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm gonna throw something out there.
Sure.
Is I have another friend who's been down on sabbatical as well, but now has started working. Mm-hmm. But I used to take a bit of the piss out of him, because he would go to matinee cinema showings and then did a bakery course.
Yeah,
very good baker now.
Yeah. Stuff.
But I mean, has there been anything unusual that you found yourself doing to you know?
Yeah, and this feeds into the importance of curiosity. And my wife and I were walking just to the grocery store about one of the most, you know, banal quotidian activities you can think of. And we walked past a bonsai farm. It was on the 9th. It was on the Novena near the Santa Ana Mall, a very nondescript sort of building. But there was a table with a bunch of bonsai trees. And I actually love bonsais. They're one of my passions, one of my hobbies that I'm not very good at yet. We had one tree that, but essentially it's a Colombian, it's a Bogotano. His name is Ricardo Villegas, and he runs the Bogota Bonsai school, I guess. He lives actually out in,
he's in
Tabio.
Otavio.
He lives out in Tabio. He has an enormous farm with 500 trees. He actually rescues trees from the side of the road. As you know, there's lots of construction on the highways, especially up towards the north.
Yeah.
And he goes along and he rescues trees and he turns them into bonsais. And he has this beautiful, beautiful farm at the base of the mountain. And he actually gives courses. So I've spent a lot of time at his farm pruning and trimming and learning how to shape bonsai trees. I never would have expected an Asian art form to live here, but there you have it. So that's been one of the the more unusual experiences. He's also a sculptor, so his barn is just full of these beautiful, beautiful sculptures.
Well, it's one of these skills that you take back to Otto with
you'll
be a bonsai expert.
These
are things that I like. This is mm-hmm. something different. Mm-hmm. And who would ever think it's like, yeah, we moved to Bogota and I became a bonsai expert.
Yeah,
I like that sort of thing. It's very upbeat again. But one thing I do notice, you know, mm-hmm. you've got a very very positive thoughts, and your time is clearly, you know, you really do invest into it and see mm-hmm. how you're going to spend it here. I do know you are, you know, let's say a hobby photographer. Mm-hmm. You spend a lot of time downtown.
Yes.
A lot of time. But I would say it's one of the most photogenic areas. There's always mm-hmm. something going on. But mm-hmm. what draws you, let's say, to the Candelaria and those areas so much?
It's the energy.
Yeah.
It's the energy of the neighborhood. Yeah. Because it is such a concentrated, it's not a very big area, but it is the home to the federal government, Bogota City Hall. It has the largest main cathedral. All of the administrative and political functions of the city are essentially within a few city blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So you have people down there because of that. And then you also have all of the feeder businesses that support that. You also have like three universities down there. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of rationale for people to be down there, all kinds of different people. Mm-hmm. And there's a great energy that just bounces off the walls and bounces off the people. It's a great area to go down and discover. I discovered a little farmer's market down there right off the Septima. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of little galleries. And I love the crazy jumble of architecture mm-hmm. because you have down there the enormous imposing limestone buildings of the Supreme Court and all the government buildings, that beautiful Andean yellowish limestone. And then on the other side, sort of at the north side of the Plaza Bolivar, you've got all the colonial low-slung houses, but then you've also got some crazy faded Art Deco mm. in there as well. So you can walk around an hour and see three different kinds of architecture. That's great. And then you've got, a lot of them are turning into hostels. You've got some really great cafes down there. So, and in the mornings when I go down, I take a... there's an arts and crafts school. There's an academy down there.
Santo Domingo?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm currently taking my third course down there. It's a leatherworking course. Another thing I never expected to do. So I'm down there on Saturday mornings at about 7 o'clock, and it's a great time. It's a great time to see the Candelaria because it's so quiet.
Yeah.
And the Plaza Bolivar is empty. There's just, you've got a couple of pigeons, and you see the clouds coming. If you look at the cathedral and you can see the clouds coming off the mountains, it's absolutely beautiful. I'm never going to get sick of that. And it's just very, very still. And the light playing off the buildings is just beautiful. And I can go down there basically anytime and see something. It's what I imagine ancient Rome would be like.
Mm-hmm.
Just so many different people being down there, running restaurants, hawking souvenirs, running to meetings, buying suits, you know, what have you. It's just a great, great atmosphere.
That's what I like. I went down there. I hadn't been down over a month or mm-hmm. so, just for different reasons, of mm-hmm. course. I mean, I used to live down there and everything, but we went down last weekend, and the investment, and again, that's the word I'll use, again, the creativity, the mm-hmm. businesses. We
yep.
found a new, I mean, it's been open months by now, but a new coffee place, which is an art gallery with a
yep.
bookstore and stuff. And it's like, God, if I lived down here, I would live in this place, mm-hmm. you know. But what I like is the type of, there's that type of old world feeling.
Yes.
You know, you've got your mishmash of your architecture, and when you come across an Art Deco building, you're like, what's that doing there?
Mm-hmm.
But I love it when you sort of come along and you see the old suit shops.
Yes.
You know, the English flannel in mm-hmm. there and stuff, and the old hat shops.
And the shoe stores.
And the shoe stores, which basically are out of the 1940s, 1950s,
mm-hmm.
Which you would have seen all over London in
yeah.
that period of time, but now are like left to Bond Street or left to German Street
mm-hmm.
or places like that. I don't know the equivalent in elsewhere, but
mm-hmm.
but they still exist.
They do.
And if they exist, exist is because they still have, you know, buyers. There are still people purchasing. And that's what's so great about it. It's still, now, have you been one block west, so it's down the hill behind the Alcaldía before it gets edgy?
Yeah.
You've seen all the Palestinian shops?
I have not.
They're called like Alibaba and other things.
Oh, okay.
And they're textile shops. And they're all Palestinian.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
They don't speak a lot of Spanish.
Right.
They've been there a while. I had to go in, and this is one of the things, I had to go in and buy the dress for the two dresses for the girls who are going to be like, I guess, what are they called? The page girls at my wedding.
I
don't know what they're called. But, and so you get them there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they went to, they could tell, obviously, that I am not Colombian, and spoke to me in English. And I said, where are you from? And I said, England. And they just went, Balfour.
Really?
And I was like, oh, God. I'm not getting a discount on this one.
Right.
But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's one of those, said, Bogota has so many surprises.
Yes.
And, you know, and so whenever I'm down there, I try and skim past. And of course, they don't, nobody recognizes it. But just to remind myself of these places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is something very special about that. I do think it's interesting, the ancient Rome, as you were saying, this description. But now, there is something else.
Yep.
You studied some Spanish because, of course, your Spanish was minimal or...
Minimal. I spoke restaurant Spanish.
Okay.
I had worked... I speak French. And then I had worked previously... I worked for a month in the north of Chile.
Okay.
So I picked up enough to, you know, handle myself in a restaurant. Yeah. But nothing really beyond that.
Okay. And so you did some Spanish at the Javeriana University, a very good university, very good classes, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
They gave you some homework.
Yes.
Which I think has probably been one of the, I would say it would be a crux of how you reflect on the city. Tell us a bit about this homework.
Yes. Well, one of the assignments was to answer the question. It was to behave as a journalist, which was a nice trip down memory lane. To answer the question, is Bogota a livable city?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a complicated question. It's the kind of question I really like, especially in emerging countries or developing countries, because what I tell people when they ask me anything about the country, I say, well, there are no simple answers.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much happening here. The city and the country are in such a transition that there are no easy answers. So if you have an hour, I can tell you what you want to know. I started by saying, by thinking, okay, well, what does the world brain think of as a livable city? I looked at what are the most desirable cities to live in, what does Forbes consider it, what does The Economist consider it, and a lot of them were Vienna, Sydney, Australia,
Vancouver,
and cities in cities that were all very in, for better or worse, call them developed countries.
Scandinavia.
Sure. I think there were some Scandinavian cities in there as well, but they were all, and they all shared, like, what were the attributes? They were they had a vibrant arts and culture scene. They had excellent public transportation. The purchasing power was very high on an individual basis. They were the physical security was quite high, but they were all incredibly expensive. And that's one of the things that, you know, if you put Bogota next to Vienna, for example, and looked at some of those metrics or some of those indicators, you would see that there is a vibrant arts and culture scene here. There is a National Philharmonic Orchestra. There is street art. You know, you could check off a lot of those boxes. You can see the city investing in making the city more livable. Public transportation is at the moment a mess. You know, you have three disconnected transportation systems. The Transmilenio was a revolution when it started. It's overcrowded now. They're expanding the Septima, so you can see areas in terms of its public transportation where they're trying to get rid of this world's sixth worst traffic. So getting around the city is still still a challenge. We hear that Medellin has, you know, the public transportation, which is something they like to lord over the city in sort of a Chicago New York rivalry. Purchasing power here is quite low compared to other more livable cities, but I think you find is that as a city becomes more quote unquote livable, it gets more expensive. So that's one of the things that I think Bogota is going to have to look at as it makes these investments and these improvements. So, you know, there is a lot happening here. You can see evidence. Even in this, something I read about on the blog is the campaign on the bus boards to impart civic virtues
and like empathy.
I think they had 10.
Yeah.
Empathy, honesty, respect, things that for a North American perhaps or for a European might think that these are normal, or you wouldn't think that you would need bus boards to teach people how to behave to one another. But the city is 9 million people. Mm. It's 9 million people living in a very concentrated, dense environment. And you have a lot of people who are from, who have been displaced, who are now learning to live in an incredibly urbanized environment, who don't have the skills, who don't have the financial resources, and they're learning all over again. So that is something that I think I can applaud the city for doing. I think it's the right thing to do. And I think, you know, I've actually even seen evidence of it. So crossing the street in Bogota, especially the Septima, can be a challenge. Drivers here are, let's say, not as forgiving or as aware.
You've been very polite.
They're not as aware, perhaps, of pedestrians, you know, for whatever reason. They may be on their phone, for example. But in the last couple of months, even my wife has commented on this, we've seen drivers actually stop at a corner and wave us across. When we first came here, that's not something I saw. So even in the space of maybe 2-3 years, and it takes years for these things to happen at scale, that's something we've seen change. So I'm optimistic about Bogota becoming more livable. I'm hoping that it becomes livable for the most number of people possible. But, you know, is it going to become Vienna overnight? I don't think so. I wouldn't want it to be.
No.
Is it livable? It's getting there.
Yeah.
It's getting there.
That's a really, really interesting reflection from you there. I wouldn't want Bogota to be Vienna. It won't become Vienna. I don't think. So I don't want to stick my neck out there. That thing about it's the basic things, isn't it, that make a city. Someone waving you across in a car. Now, I do it all the time because I hope that someone will learn from it. I think it's happening.
Yeah.
And I do stop, you know, it's like, go, please. And people, and also when someone stops for me, I give them the thumbs up and say
always.
Thank you. Because it's that interaction.
It is.
And so what I think, a lot of what we're getting to is the inclusivity of a city.
Yeah.
Well, when they talk about this list of best cities in which to live in Vienna, Vancouver, Sydney, etc., there's also a thing about access to the arts.
Exactly.
Access, which here, while museums may be free on a Sunday or whenever they are, or there might be free things, you're going to have a huge segment of society who doesn't feel like they belong. And that's where the work will come in. Let's just talk of when I forget his name, but the guy who's one of the guys who helped start up the Feria del Millón, amazing, and I forget which episode he was on of Columbia Calling, but look back through the archives. Finding that old textile factory in South Bogota and, you know, recovering it for this immense art fair and inviting all the local people.
Right.
And they would all come in their best clothes.
Really?
And they had a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
And all the artists were there to talk to them and say, this is what I wanted, but what do you think? And that was bringing it back into the community.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it could have been an event for just Rosales, you know, the barrier, just to go there, let's say slum it for an hour, maybe buy some art and go away and say how marvelous it was. But I like that element. Maybe, you know, if it just affects 25 families, well, how many people is that? And then how many people are that? And what kids are talking at school? But it's this accessibility to the cultural benefits, which it's still lacking, but it must be going in the right direction.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's what I like about the Ciclovia, which is something that a lot of my friends have been really jealous about, I think, is that every Sunday there's 120 kilometers of roads that are just closed to traffic. And you see, it's one of the few times I find that you see all of Bogota come out to enjoy something that the city puts on. Mm-hmm. And that's really important because you see the very high-end cyclists on the most high-end bikes, and you see people on something that you're surprised even rolls. yes. You see all manner of bikes, all manner of people from all walks of life, from every barrio. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, and all of the craziness around it, all of the fried, the roasted corn stands and the big chess things and the people doing aerobics in the park. You just see the entire city come out. And that's one of the few times, and hopefully there's more that people feel the sense of belonging to the city. And I think that's something that the city campaign is trying to do as well, because I don't think you can have a city of 9 million strangers. It wouldn't be a city. And I mean, it's a recipe for social problems of another kind down the road. I think the city, the official city, the mayor's office, is trying to foster a sense of belonging for 9 million people who have come from other cities. And Bogota, historically, from what I've read, has not been a city that's been terribly welcoming to people from outside the country or outside the city even. I think that's common in cities in mountains for some reason, maybe the geographic isolation. Also, the social and economic class system. There's a lot of old money, a lot of old world manners here, but you know, for various reasons, Bogota has seen an influx from people from all over the country, and they have to find a way to make them, essentially make the city work together.
Did I read recently that LA, Los Angeles, is starting a ciclovia?
I don't know.
Read something, or I may have dreamt it. It's okay. Always possible. It's always possible. Yeah. I think this is fascinating. And also, one of the cool things that's going on, which was actually, you know, it's been over a couple of administrations, mm-hmm. is the recuperation of a really awful area downtown. I've talked about before, the Bronx.
Yes.
But now they're calling it the Bronx Distrito Creativo.
Yes.
And the sort of... it's still the recruitment battalion, but they'll be moving out.
Okay.
They're moving out as soon as the army recruitment office will be moving out to the north of the city when their building is finished in the north. Mm-hmm. And that building's been given back to the alcaldía. Mm-hmm. Well, they bought it back, in fact, mm-hmm. Paying it back. And it's going to be set up as a whole, so let's say, orange economy.
Right.
Also, and then they're doing concerts down there. They're doing fashion shows. But while at the moment I'm pretty sure it's people coming from this kind of area, Chapinero, Teusaquillo, Macarena, etc., going down to visit it, and not the local people from around that, there mm-hmm. will be an effect mm-hmm. on that area. And that, again, it can only be positive.
Yeah.
It can only be positive. This, again, accessibility of cultural and free events that change, you know?
You can't have it all in one affluent neighborhood. You have to put it... Bogota's an enormously big city, and you have to have those events at other places, mm-hmm. And places where you will get that mix of people.
Yeah. So quite exciting, though.
Yeah,
it is. It's quite exciting. There's a lot. I mean, that's what I like. Is that there's everything to do, but it can be done.
You know?
I think that's one of the things. I have to say, it's really great having you on the show, mm-hmm. because reflecting again through your dialogue, it mm-hmm. makes me remember why I love Bogota, right. which sometimes gets lost. And in particular during, and we're not talking politics, election mm-hmm. periods and so on, when all my work and efforts are directed at only politics. And it's right.
Excellent thing we got to do is during the recent the last presidential election, the second round between Duque and Petro, I was an election observer.
Wow.
And that was an amazing experience. And we got to go to Ciudad Bolívar, which has a reputation and which is borne out by the statistics for being not a touristed area for, you know, with security concerns. During the day, I found it really fascinating. Yeah, there was so much life and people just going about their daily business. It was just a really interesting part of the city to see. Another fellow observer said, yeah, this is the Bogota the Bogotanos never see.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you were to take a picture of Ciudad Bolívar and put it next to Chapinero, yeah. You'd be hard-pressed to take the Dr. Pepper challenge or the Pepsi challenge to see which one is which, because on a surface, at least, they both look the same. It was a really fascinating experience to see people coming out to vote and even looking at the city from that perspective. Yeah. To go up at the top of the hill and look north.
Yeah.
Because usually our perspective actually from either Monserrate or for where we live is to look south. Mm. But to look at the city from the other perspective is really interesting.
Right. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. And you were an observer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually quite jealous of you. But as you say, Bolívar, the Bogota the Bogotanos don't see. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of people I know, the further south they go is the Javeriana University. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the truth of it.
Yeah. Right?
And if they go to Los Andes as a student, they've got to be very careful because they say, ooh. Yeah. But no.
Yeah.
But it is. It's a vibrant city, mm-hmm. that is, again, as I say, and I've always said that Bogota makes you work for her affection.
Exactly.
It's not somewhere that everything's laid out for you.
Exactly.
You have to think about it. Mm-hmm. You have to know what you want to do, and also, like you've said, keep an open mind. And of course, there are the trappings of a big city, and of course, there are elements of insecurity and all over the place, and political ill will, and everything else, of course. But just reflect on the whole this show, what we've been talking about. It's overwhelmingly exciting.
Yeah, I think that too is that the there's so many young people here, which I think is again different from North American cities. I know certainly it's different from Ottawa. If you look at the age range or the age breakdown for Colombia's 50 million people. A staggeringly large percentage, I can't remember off the top of my head, of people are under 30.
Yeah.
So the youthful energy and combined with an improved safety situation has just, I think, unleashed a lot of creativity and a lot of energy. A lot of the coffee shops and galleries that I go to are all run and staffed by people that are half my age. Mm-hmm. Giving myself away there. but it's just... you can feel the energy when you go into these places. It's just really, really, it's really amazing. And it's fun. It's fun to be part of this wave because I think 10, 15, 20 years from now, we can look back, we can see if Bogota continues to stay on this trajectory. You know, we can say we look back on this period in the cities and the country's history and think about what a really special time it was for us as a couple, but also just to be part of that and to see the city changing and to feel it. It's just really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Delaney Turner, ambassador for Bogota. Thank you so much for sharing these thoughts. Thank you for your time. It's been fun. You know, it's been a nice conversation. And I know that this will permeate the airwaves and the listeners out there. They'll want to come down to Bogota. Mm-hmm. It will help them remember why they're here and stuff.
Yes.
So this is thank you again. And do check out Delaney's blog at becausebogota.com. Very easy. Mm-hmm. To look up that one. This has been episode 240 of Columbia Calling. I've been Richard McCall talking to Delaney Turner, a marketing guru from Ottawa. It's been a great podcast. We'll be back next week with another interview and further interesting stuff about Columbia. And thank you again for listening. And please share this show far and wide, and so we keep growing our listenership. And let's hope influence. Thank you again. Bye bye.